The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus went up the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When the day came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who is called a Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became the traitor. The Gospel of the Lord. Reflecting on the choosing of apostles is a very interesting exercise. It appears the 12 are named 4 times in the New Testament, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and in the Acts of the Apostles. Otherwise, they're not named who the 12 were. Interestingly, the Gospel of John doesn't mention the 12 at all. If we only had the Gospel of John, we would not know who the 12 apostles. We would not know their names. The second thing that's interesting about this is that it says Jesus goes up to the mountain to pray. Now that's very important because in the Hebrew Semitic tradition, it was on the mountain that God revealed, that God spoke, Mount Sinai, the Mount of Transfiguration. The mountain was a place of revelation. And therefore what the evangelist wants us to remember is that it was no casual moment when Jesus began to pray and come down from the mountain and choose the 12. Remember, Sermon on the Mount, the mountain, the place where we encounter the living God. So having prayed on the mountain, he comes down from the mountain and he selects 12. Now, when you read all 4 accounts naming the 12, the first ones, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and so forth, and Judas, the traitor, they're in all of 4 of them. But when you go down the line, when these Gospels and the Acts were formed, they didn't quite remember who the others were. So they got the names mixed up a little bit. When you go down to the last 4 or 5, the names vary from one account to the other. Just shows the manner in which the Gospels were shaped. And no, as you know, the Gospels are written way after the time of Jesus, and they're writing under the influence of the Holy Spirit what they remembered Jesus said. Not what Jesus said, what they remembered Jesus said. And remembering the names of the apostles, they got the last 3 or 4 somewhat different. The second thing that's sort of interesting, praying and selecting the 12, he didn't pick the 12 best. He might have gone out and picked the 12 most intelligent, most virtuous. He didn't. He just picked 12, like folks, like ordinary people. People with imperfections, people, and therefore when they follow Jesus and they go through their seminary with him, their formation, listening to him preaching and doing miracles, they fight amongst themselves. There's a contest. Who is the greatest? Remember that? And in Matthew and Mark, we have James and John going to Jesus saying, when you come into your kingdom, now, they all believed that Jesus would restore Israel to its temporal, worldly greatness. At the beginning, they were not following Jesus because of something holy. They were following Jesus because he was the messianic one who would restore Israel. Now, they will learn as they go along. Remember James and John, it appears in Mark and Matthew. They go to him and say, by the way, when you come into your kingdom, when you're elected president, I want one of my sons to be on your right, Secretary of State, the other guy on your left, Secretary of Defense, whatever you call it. I want my two sons to be number one and number two in the kingdom. That's the kingdom of Israel, okay? Not the kingdom that Jesus is announcing. It's the kingdom that the world is announcing. So they're very imperfect, and they struggle. They all walk away from him. Peter denies him, of course, and Judas becomes a traitor. He betrays him. But not one of them show up at the foot of the cross. There are women. And then there's the beloved disciple, whoever the beloved disciple was. I mean, some people think it was John. Maybe it was John. But it's not of what the scholars say. Nonetheless, he selected folks just like us, imperfect, struggling. The only way in which we can really fulfill our mission as followers of Jesus Christ is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not through keeping laws, not through, you know, observing all that is needed from us, but a personal relationship with Jesus Christ animated and nurtured by the Holy Spirit. And this happens to each and every one of them only after they fail. They have failed first. And in their failure, they rediscover the meaning of following Jesus Christ. That's important to keep in mind. Because, you know, meet some people, followers of the Lord, church people who never fail. They know they never fail because they can make judgments about other people who fail. Because they themselves don't fail. So failure is part of the journey of redemption, where the power of Jesus Christ comes to us through the Holy Spirit, and we are reformed and renewed, and we become true disciples. You might keep that in mind. Reflecting on these 12 is a very interesting exercise to reflect on our own lives and our own following of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We pause now for a moment of prayer. We pray for ourselves that in our failures and our struggles and our sins, we don't get discouraged. We renew our following of Jesus. We call on the Holy Spirit to lift us up and to carry us, not to deny our humanity, but to anoint our humanity. We pray to the Lord. For all those in our life who have disappointed us, who didn't meet our expectations, they are also the chosen ones. We pray that, gifted by the Holy Spirit, they will find meaning and fulfillment in their lives. We pray to the Lord. And for all those who are suffering in the Gaza war and in the Ukraine, and there are people close to us here who are suffering, carrying heavy burdens, and they're fearful, and they belong to us. We pray to the Lord. In the power of God's Spirit, we make these prayers. In the name of Jesus, the Lord. Amen.